A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Unfortunately, we'll not have Nico. Great player, been a great player all year for us, best receiver in the league, but he'll take the time to get healthy. He'll be back for us, so encouraged by that news. He'll be back at some point this season.
That's D'Amico Ryans yesterday talking about Nico Collins, who's on the injured reserve. He'll miss at least the next four games, starting with the Patriots on Sunday for your Houston Texans, who 4-1 in the standings, but to us, they're 0-0. It's all about focusing against the worst team in the league on Sunday.
You just got to win the game in front of you, Paul.
Game at a time.
One game at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think too far ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Not a trap game
mm-hmm.
because this game matters.
Mm-hmm.
So 0-0.
Hell yeah, dude. We got Jerry calling in at 713-780-3776. Jerry, I hope you're focused on the 0-0 Houston Texans. What's good?
Hey, how y'all doing? A couple of things. First, we're through, I believe, 5 weeks of the NFL season. And these quarterback contract numbers, because specifically when you're talking about Watson, they got to stop at 60, right? Like, that's the cap. Like, I can imagine, like, Trevor Lawrence is making $55 million a year, and he's mediocre. You got Dak Prescott barely beating the Giants, getting crushed by the Saints at home, making $60 million. Like, there's no way another person's contract could exceed to 65, 70, 75.
But, Jerry.
I don't know. That's the NFL.
Jerry, it's going to keep going up. Before you get to your second thing, it's just going to keep going up and up and up and up and up. And I agree. But it's going to keep going up because teams are scared about what the unknown is. They'd rather have an above average to good quarterback than nothing at all. Continue.
Yeah, that makes sense. My second thing is just pretty simple. I haven't been paying attention at all this week because I've been working. But are you going to be wearing Texans gear tomorrow, or are you going to pull a George and wear Patriots stuff? Thank you, guys.
Ooh, that is a great question. Maybe that is a reason that you should go to Drift, where we will be hosting the show tomorrow. What if I pulled a fast one and I wear a Seahawks shirt? Because we're playing the 49ers
tonight.
Oh, yeah,
they win.
I mean, I could do that.
Yeah.
That would be funny.
Just like the Legion of Boom days.
I mean, there's less to be excited about for the Patriots than the Bears.
Well, this is the Bears difference. This is the difference between Joe and me. Like, Joe, you have a team that is on the rise, and you still go out of your way to watch them because you're doing a Bears thingy on the side. I no longer go out of my way to watch any Boston sports team unless it's the playoffs. And because football season has sort of become this thing where on Sundays I'm following the Houston Texans all the time, I truly just don't go out of my way to check out on anything about the Patriots. There's like one podcast I listen to about the Patriots once a week. That's pretty much it. That's how I get my vibes. I don't go out of my way to watch them anymore, especially now. And if you want to call me a front runner for it, please do, because I am. I 100% am. When you do this for a living, it becomes work to check on the teams that you don't get paid to check in on.
Yeah, it is.
Hired gun, baby.
And plus, Jacoby, at least now, like, there's something to watch. It was Jacoby Brissett. Like, we all know what Jacoby Brissett is. He's the nice
whoa,
guy.
Whoa. We all know what Jacoby Brissett is. What does that mean, Joe?
Bad quarterback.
He's a Super Bowl champion.
Mm-hmm.
Is he?
Yeah, 2016. Yeah.
Okay, I couldn't remember if he was on the Patriots.
Beat the Texans.
He did beat
at Foxborough Stadium.
I do. That
they shut him out.
Yeah.
Lil Fuller. Shout
out to him. They had a scramble. He had like a 40-yard touchdown run.
He beat the Texans. Like, didn't they blow him out?
Was he
the quarterback of that game?
It was 17-0 filled in that game. Yeah. Yeah. He had a 40-yard scramble for a touchdown. He's one of the slowest people.
I mean,
he's like
a Texan killer. He's beat them with the Colts, the Patriots, and someone else, I think, too.
Browns?
Maybe. It seemed like every time they played Jacoby Brissett, he was terrible against everyone else, and he would be good against the Texans.
But now he's on the bench.
That's poor coaching by Gerard Mayo. Learn your history, buddy.
Yeah.
Belichick would have started him.
Belichick's got lots of opinions.
He does. Belichick, from the sidelines, just throwing shade at the Patriots. I'm not going to lie. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it.
I have too.
I feel like, I mean, they did force him out. Should they have? I don't know. Probably, but the team would be better under Belichick.
Yeah, but he's also probably like, you know what? Thanks for doing that, guys. One of those where you'll think, like Dusty Baker said about Yonder Diaz, you'll thank me later.
To a degree, sure, but at the same time, I don't know. But anyway, that's what you're playing on Sunday. 713-780-3776. You want to weigh in on that? I don't want to turn this into me talking about the Patriots.
So you're not wearing Patriots gear tomorrow?
No, I won't be. No, I don't think I'll be wearing Texans gear either, because I feel like I do have to draw a line somewhere. But on Sunday, I'm pretty sure, and I always find out in the moment, I'm pretty sure that I will be rooting for the Texans. I just will be.
You're not sure yet.
No, I don't know. Okay. I mean,
one good drive by Drake May where he's really spinning the thing. You're like, huh?
Maybe, but I mean, they even changed the uniforms. It's just not the same.
Conspiracy theory time. That's why they made the switch. Is so Drake May is wearing the throwback uniforms that everyone loves and not Jacoby Brissett.
Those uniforms are very cool that they're going to be wearing on Sunday, but it's just weird watching them now. And I've been here long enough where, yeah, I don't really, they don't get me going as much as they used to.
Weird that when they're not winning, they're going to the AFC title game for 10 straight years. It's hard to get it. I've told as excited. People this.
I'm not ashamed of it at all.
We'll find out.
I'm not wasting my time on a bad product. It's a corporation. It's a corporation that is located in a place where my parents made love and birthed me. Like that is my tie to them. It's a corporation. It's not a school that I went to. It's a corporation, and I hate to look at things this way and perhaps ruin the fan experience for a lot of people out there. But if a product is bad, don't give it your time.
Yeah, no, I mean, I feel like every Astros fan out there should be nodding along to this. Like that was my exact experience with the Houston Astros when Jim Crane bought the team, Jeff Luhnow, and they're like, we will be bad, but trust us with this. There is a plan, and when the plan is, hey, we're going to cut money, we're going to be bad, and then eventually we'll be good, I was like, cool, see you when you're good. Like if you're telling me on the front end the plan is to be bad, Why should I watch?
At least they, like, one thing I always appreciate that they told you.
Yeah.
Like, one of my biggest peeves in sports is the Astros.
Oh, gotcha. Right.
Like, they told,
one of my they biggest, weren't quite, yeah. Sorry to cut you off. They weren't quite the Sixers.
No. Yes. That's why Sam Hinkie got fired, is because of how upfront he was.
But everyone knew.
Yes. Yeah.
But, like, one of my biggest peeves in sports is when a team is like, we're going to win a championship this year.
Yeah.
And you're like, no.
Our goal is to win the division.
Like, Jakob Poeltl from the Raptors, he at Media Day, he literally was saying, he admitted, our goal is not to win a championship. Our goal is probably not to win a lot of games. Our goal is to develop as basketball players. I'm like, hey, like, I kind of appreciate that. I'd rather you not try to tell me it's nice and sunny outside when it's not. Just mm-hmm. tell me the truth. You stink. It's okay. It'll get better.
But you don't have to be loyal to that.
No, and Raptors fans don't have to be like living and dying with every game. It's like, right. No, this is about seeing how Scotty Barnes progresses.
I'm sure there's a lot of people out there, I bleed for the H and all that stuff. Great.
Bear me in the H.
Do it when the team's actually worth your time. Do it when the team's actually worth following, you know? Perhaps ruining the sports fan experience as a man who is paid to talk about the teams that are in the same city as me, but guess what? I will root for the teams in whatever city I'm paid in. I will do that. I don't, except for the Yankees and for the Colts and for the Lakers.
That'd be hilarious. New lineup to 101 point whatever in Indianapolis. Paul Gallant just being like, your team sucks.
I think
Peyton Manning's a loser.
I would,
and y'all piped in this crowd noise.
At least in New York, like you could be like, you could root for the Mets.
No, I couldn't even do that. Yankees. I couldn't even do that. I mean, the list goes long.
But like trollingly, could you root for the Mets? Just to troll Yankees fans?
No, not really. The Mets are losers. I can't do it.
You can't sign off on that.
The Mets are winners.
Yeah, great. They made it to the first round of the playoffs by the Astros standards. That's good for them. It's really cute. It's nifty. But what I would do, I mean, if I was in Indianapolis, the first thing I would do on the air is probably do a napkin resignation, like I'm Bill Belichick. and commit ritual seppuku because I had set foot in Indianapolis after swearing I would never set foot in that godforsaken place my entire life, which I've never been to, by the way, and it might be nice. But
you've never been at all?
Why would I ever go
there? Well, there's a lot of stuff in Indianapolis.
Like
final,
what?
The Combine, Final Fours, wow. National Championship Games.
Man. Super Bowl.
Super Bowls. Like, there's quite a bit of things.
Patriots played a Super Bowl.
So events Indy, right? That sometimes happen there. But what else is there in Indiana?
Well, no, but I just figured you would at some point end up in. This
big Midwest over here is trying to
cover
to,
it. No.
St. Elmo's.
I've never been there.
Everyone hypes it up so much.
I mean, I just have a hard time.
It's same.
Hard time believing.
Stop
the
telling
hype.
Me about the shrimp.
It's like, it's not even the shrimp.
I believe the
it's
steak.
Not the shrimp. It's not even the shrimp that matters. It's the sauce. The dipping sauce.
Oh, they just have like a special sauce.
It's like there's extra horseradish in it, so it's super super spicy in the shrimp cocktail sauce. So that's what it's famous for.
It's famous for its sauce.
It's not even famous for the shrimp. It's Indianapolis and frozen shrimp.
And I have a feeling the Indianapolis level of super super spicy and the level of super super spicy
it's Tim Walls level
down here. Is a little different.
Yeah, like, it makes me feel like that anyone that goes there, if they had crawfish, they would die.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you send a Louisianan up there, they're asking for more of the horseradish sauce.
I do love horseradish.
Well, yeah, horseradish is good.
It's fine, yeah.
It's got a kick.
When we go to when we all go to La Berge, when my wife comes with me, we go to the steakhouse and just get oysters.
Ooh.
They have great oysters there.
Easy, Joe.
What? They're good.
Well, you know what oysters do, right?
I know.
They give some people allergic reactions if they have shellfish allergies.
That's true.
That's what they do.
That's exactly what they do.
Joe, in case there's any kids in the car.
Joe, you freak.
Hey, it's a hotel room.
No, but good for you. No,
it's a hotel room. Do what you want.
Do what you want. I like it. Spicy Joe here today. Talking about sauce and oysters. Let's go.
Yep. Yeah. It's the mustache.
No, but Mustache Joe has riz. Paul does not. I might have to go mustache, too. I feel like I got all this gray in my beard.
Well,
right
I mean,
now.
The Astros really screwed your playoff beard. So they only
oh,
gave
yeah.
You,
well,
they
now,
only gave you now two I'm days
just,
of it.
Now I'm just growing it and because I want to look like a homeless person.
I mean, maybe it's just Texans playoff beard. Like, we know they're going to make it, so just start
yeah,
growing
that's,
it now.
You know what? Hell yeah. That's it. That's just, it.
You can't shave it until they win the Super Bowl in February.
You can't ever shave it until the Texans win a Super Bowl.
Oh, that'd be gross. You can't do that because it may never happen.
ZZ Top.
Yeah.
I'm cool. Yeah, there'd be so – it would look so weird. It'd be like Santa Claus, but a motorcyclist. I don't know. He's Joe. I'm Paul. It's Gallant and George. ESPN 975-925. 713-780-3776 to call into text. And you can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston on Twitch as well at ESPN 975. The Dodgers and Yankees won yesterday. That's annoying. What's going on in baseball? Do you have the baseball FOMO? Stick around.
This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
The hilarious. I like reading copy, overemphasizing it, but stand-up comedian, writer, author, actor, podcaster, Tom Segura, I actually am a fan of him, is coming to Houston for his Come Together tour. Caller number 3 to 713-780-3776. You win a pair of tickets to join Segura for All the Laughs at NRG Arena Saturday, April 5th. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at LiveNation.com. That'll be fun.
Yeah, that'll be nice.
Like me some stand-up comedy. Dan Soder's in town.
I'm going to have to try to go see Tom.
Segura's most recent special was very funny. I enjoyed
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of my podcasts I listen to the most.
Oh.
It's him and Kreischer.
Oh, gotcha.
They're so, Two Bears, One Cave.
Two Bears, One Cave. Okay.
They're very, very funny. Like, that's like, I really wasn't much into stand-up, honestly, like, until the pandemic.
Gotcha.
And then, like, just, like, having nothing to do, I started just, like, watching Netflix specials.
Oh, that's interesting.
So, like, that's, like, really when I started to get into it more. And Tom and Bert are like probably my two favorites now.
Comedian podcasts are something that I probably enjoy more than stand-up comedy. So Tim Dillon, also Dan Soder, who's in town this weekend. Those are probably my two faves. Anyway, guys, baseball, it's a sport. It still exists when the Astros aren't in the playoffs, unfortunately. But let's give you an update on everything that happened last night.
This is baseball today, this afternoon, this week.
We touched on this in the 12 o'clock hour, but Joe is so right. Baseball wants a Yankees-Dodgers World Series so bad. I'm just going to read you the write-up of last night's Los Angeles Dodgers win over the San Diego Padres to force a Game 5. This is the most glowing thing by a non-beat writer of a team that I've seen in quite some time.
With the rotation decimated, the lineup wounded, and the season hanging in the balance, a group of close to 12 Los Angeles Dodgers pitchers walked toward Petco Park center field bullpen late Wednesday to attempt what at that point seemed improbable. Tame a vaunted San Diego Padres offense, quiet an effervescent opposing crowd, okay, bro, and send this National League Division Series back to L.A. Their only hope was to do what they always do. Band together, follow the plan laid out for them, and prepare for it all to unravel. And then, overcome it. Before Wednesday, no team had ever thrown a postseason shutout in a game in which the starter recorded four or fewer outs. Then the Dodgers and the Detroit Tigers did it at the same time.
They want the Dodgers in there so badly. This guy needs to hide his pants tent.
I definitely prefer the Padres.
Yeah, I want the Padres in. Let's be honest. I think most people in Houston, we just hate the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. We whether it's from the 80s when they were all in the NL West with the Astros, or from the most recent World Series and beyond with all the cheating accusations and all that stuff. Whatever the case, though. I really thought that they were going to be taken out last night, and it was very disappointing to wake up to realizing they were still alive.
But Cease only went like an inning and two thirds. I mean, because like if the Astros can't be in the World Series, then watching the Dodgers and the Yankees fail to get there is like a little bit of a consolation prize.
The problem is, last night it feels like everything is getting closer and closer to that.
Yeah, like I think I'd have to hate watch Yankees Dodgers in the World Series.
I don't know who I'd root for. That one would actually be hard to root for. That would be my Russia versus China.
Probably the Dodgers. I do love Freddie Freeman.
Ultimately, I'd probably have to root for the Dodgers, mainly because I can never in good conscience root for a team from New York, specifically the New York Yankees, just given where I grew up and where I was born and all that. But,
Mookie's on the Dodgers, at least, for you. That's got to help a little bit,
I haven't liked the Red Sox in over a decade. Okay. I never really was in for the Mookie Betts era.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I also would go Dodgers.
It would actually help me feel better about how bad the Red Sox are now, though, to what you're saying about Mookie. Not from a, like, oh, I ever rooted for Mookie. More just like, the Red Sox screwed this up.
Yeah.
Screw them.
And the Yankees' misery is just so, it's so great. It's so much better than Dodger misery.
But they're getting cocky. They're getting cocky, the Yankees, too. Jazz Chisholm's like, oh, they only boo bums, because he got a big booing ovation there. Did you see Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, he was pumped.
Patrick Mahomes looked as annoying as Jackson Mahomes.
Yeah.
It was unbecoming of an owner to be acting that way.
That's a fair point. Very fair
point. It's unbecoming of a starting quarterback, honestly, to be acting that way. Getting in the face. Because I think that guy, the guy in the Yankees cap was, I think he's a wide receiver on the
correct
on the Chiefs.
I think he plays for the Chiefs. Here's the thing.
Slapped him in the face.
Didn't Mahomes' dad play for the Yankees? Wouldn't Mahomes be a Yankees fan?
I think his dad just played for everybody, though.
Okay, got it.
He played for the Twins. He played for the Mets.
Okay.
He played for the Rangers,
I think. Played for a few teams. Yeah. Okay. Because, yeah, it does. It almost feels like it's.
He did not play for the Yankees.
He did not?
He played the Twins, the Red Sox, the Yokohama Bay Stars.
Nice.
The New York Mets, the Rangers, the Cubs, the Pirates.
Okay.
I don't know why I thought he played for the Yankees.
Probably Mets. But Mets-Yankees got mixed up.
Same thing. It's New York.
A lot of pinstripes.
Yeah.
Pinstripes. He earned his pinstripes.
Yeah, Twins were on pinstripes at the time.
But
he was.
Look it up, Mahomes, with his brother Jackson right behind him, out annoying, for once, his younger brother and his wife.
When you own a team, you can, you know.
How much of it does he own?
Probably like 2%.
Yeah. So little.
They need it.
Enough to get a box?
Honestly, they need more Mahomes ownership. They're poor. The Mets made it to the National League Championship Series. A Francisco Lindor Grand Slam does it for the Mets. It is nice to see Philadelphia out.
Yeah, it's kind of like all the teams. That's what's good. The Phillies can get knocked out. The Yankees can get knocked out. The Dodgers can get knocked out. It's kind of great.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there was a day, I think, where all three of them lost, and you're just like, huh, this might break right for the Astros after all.
And then the last series that we have, it's the Detroit Tigers and the Cleveland Guardians. Tigers up 2-1. They could be in the ALCS after taking down the Astros with one more win over the Cleveland Guardians.
The fact that this team was so bad at the deadline. Traded away one of their best pitchers. He's now pitching for the Dodgers. Nearly traded Schuble. They're doing the Rays thing where they're just pitching random dudes out there.
Yeah.
And it's working for them.
They're doing the Rays thing and the Marlins thing, too. Yeah. Remember when the Marlins won it the first time in... Oh, wait. Were you guys alive?
Yeah. 1997? I was alive.
97. Okay. You were barely alive.
I was one.
I was five.
Okay.
I was one and a half.
Just checking. When that World Series happened, no one really saw it coming, and then they just went back into irrelevance.
Yeah, they blew
afterwards.
It up.
Yeah.
And then they did the same thing in 2003.
Honestly.
Don't remember that one.
Yeah. No ownership group. Oh, I forgot. Sorry. Forgot what they had to do along the way. It's so crazy that no one remembers that Bartman's moment came against the Marlins.
Yeah.
Who went on to win the World Series.
But part of it's because the Marlins, two World Series and they traded their guy. Like,
The Marlins are the most irrelevant franchise, probably in the maybe not in all three major sports, but they're so irrelevant.
Okay,
and so no one ever thinks about the fact that they have two championships.
Yeah, like I think of like the
they have as many as the Astros.
Yeah.
You'd say like,
in 6 years apart.
Yeah,
not even that like not that different than the Astros.
Like you would say like big city. Like, irrelevance, they got to be towards the top with the Angels. Like, it's like them and the Angels. Like, they're more relevant than the Mets are more relevant, way more relevant. I mean, they're just a garbage organization. They were most famous for a stupid statue in center field for like 5 years.
I liked it.
That was awesome.
I should bring it back.
That was an awesome.
I can't believe they got rid of it. I still want to know where it's at.
Yeah, it's like, that should have been up
for... Where'd you put it?
Like, is it just like a someone's house?
They should have just auctioned it off.
Mm-hmm.
And then, sweet, now we can pay for a reliever.
Yeah,
but like the person who wins it, what do you do with it?
You put it in your pool.
Put it in your house.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
You put it in your yard. Yeah.
It's huge.
Well, I'm sure there's a cocaine dealer or 12 in Miami.
I'm assuming this person who buys it is super rich.
Yeah, I actually am curious, though. I think Joe's looking it up.
I'm trying to see if I can find
it. I want to
get some dimensions on that.
For those who do not remember, the Miami Marlins ballpark had a, I don't even know what it is. It was just this like loud, extravagant piece of art.
It's like something you'd see like in a carnival game when you like hit the bullseye, and it was just like all these things kind of moving around.
Could be that,
yeah.
Because there was this weird winding thing in the middle of it, almost like a clock. But to me, it's more, hey, I've been on a road trip for 6 hours. Here's a thing in the middle of the road trip for 6 hours that you're supposed to stop at.
Yes,
i.e., a tourist trap.
Yes, like the biggest ball of yarn in America or something, and then now. Here, when you're in this no-name town, here's this weird statue that they built, and it's the Marlins statue.
I have no idea where it's at, though. I did find this quote that says Jeffrey Loria, the owner of the Marlins, says Derek Jeter ruined the Marlins when he got rid of it.
I agree with that.
That's true. I agree with that. Things went downhill right afterwards. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glass. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Good news for the not 4-1. 0-0 Houston Texans going into their game Sunday against the Patriots. You'll hear it on the other side. Stay put.
Bullpen, Saturdays at noon on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Stand! Hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. Here's the good news for the Texans. Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce both back on the practice field today. So maybe the Texans will have better running backs on Sunday against the Patriots, as though they are 4-1 in the standings. They are 0-0 to us and to themselves. Mm-hmm. One game at a time. When they play a team like the New England Patriots, who look pretty bad.
Really hoping Joe Mixon makes his Texans debut this weekend.
That's true, because they're 0-0.
They're 0-0.
And while he did have an awesome game in game one.
Oh, that's preseason.
It was. It was preseason football. I just saw this. This is not helping my mood. I'm sorry. I've been so sad this week. Carrie Underson is paid $1 million each week to do the Sunday Night Football theme song.
Is Carrie Underwood making $1 million each week every year?
I'm sure.
Like, or is this the
NFL?
Like a,
maybe she got a bump. Maybe she got a contract.
How much does he change every week?
Sunday night.
A couple lyrics?
Where are you? Something in, something.
Hey,
in a primetime
Jack,
showdown.
It's a fact.
Yeah. A couple lyrics. Al and Chris are the best on TV. They had to change that to Mike and Chris.
It's really just one line that they changed.
It's just the, like, some in a primetime fight is, like, all the...
Yeah.
Really the only line that gets changed.
But, like, maybe she, like, just feels the... Maybe she has to redo it every week in full to make sure... No way.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. This is a pretty easy line to replace, you
yeah,
think?
Yeah, she has to, like, match the tone of, like, one line.
Yeah, maybe she does, like, the line before it, that line, the line after.
Yeah.
And then you can
like,
smooth it out.
Like, 10 takes? 5 takes?
Probably 5. I can't imagine. I can't imagine it takes that long.
Now, out of 18 weeks, how many of these are one-hitters? Or she just does it one take, good, $1 million.
I would think at this point, because she's been doing it for a decade, right?
Yeah.
I would think at this point that it's a one-hit and done. Especially how many more times are you going to have to redo it for making $1 million?
Also, she could probably just do a couple in advance, too.
Good for her.
She could do, like, the next 3 weeks. Like, because they're not going to flex anything.
Yeah, I mean, really, she could just do, like, 80% of the season at once.
I know she's got that Before He Cheats song. Carrie, I'll... for $1 million a week just for that, do whatever you want. You can even cheat on me, okay? Do whatever you want. I'm not cheating on you, though. You won't have to key my car.
Oh, that's part of it. She has to record the video component.
I guess, but it's the same thing every week.
Yeah, but but that's 18 mil right there. Or actually, it's probably like 20 mil.
Yeah, but
they
we need to watch the video.
Yeah.
Because is she on camera?
I'm curious.
At that part of
no,
the video?
No, she's not. It's always a highlight of the two teams playing.
Then she does not record a new video every week.
Thursday Night Football was good last week.
It was excellent.
This week, it features two teams that historically haven't liked each other that played in the playoffs fairly recently. It's the San Francisco 49ers, 2-3, going on the road to take on the Seattle Seahawks, a team that I used to cover that started off 3-0 but has lost their last two games. You want to go to mybookie.ag, you enter that promo code BET975 to put a little action on the game. And right now, take a look at the spread. It is San Francisco, 3.5-point road favorites in this game. San Francisco is strangely not that good at the beginning of the year. But I do think that the fresh car smell of Mike McDonald as the new head coach of the Seahawks has worn off. I will say that playing against the Detroit Lions a couple of weeks ago, that certainly... Was that last Monday?
I guess 2 Mondays ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
That one was one of those games where it felt like you saw all the limitations of the Seahawks. They're coming off a loss to the Giants. I feel like this is a get-right game for San Francisco.
I think it is, too. I'm not a believer in Seattle. I don't Everyone wants to put Geno Smith. It's like this great story. He's turned his career around. And like I just can't.
I can't
get there. I can't buy into it.
He's been good for a couple of years, but I'm not saying he's great. And he's just a watchable quarterback than he ever was during his time with the Jets and other stops. Famously with the Jets, he would have been the starter the year that they went 10-6 with Ryan Fitzpatrick under center, but he got punched in the face over money that he owed to a borderline practice squad player, Ike Enempili.
I forgot about that.
I think it's a situation where the journey and the story is super good for Geno Smith. Was like the wow, can you believe he's back? But the level of play is still like, he's good. He's a good NFL quarterback, but he's not. He's not someone that's blowing your socks off every week.
Yeah, like I'm at the point now where it's like, okay, you have Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet in your backfield, and then you have Jaxon Smith-Njigba, DK Metcalf, and aging Tyler Lockett. Don't you want to get a younger quarterback at some point to try to actually win something? Like it's like there's so much talent on this.
But would a younger quarterback? Can you say a younger quarterback would be better than what Geno's giving?
You can't by default. That's where they're trapped. Geno. All people that follow the Seahawks will tell you is not the problem. I'm with you. You could probably do better, but this is the whole NFL. It's you get somebody that's competent. Do you believe that you're going to find somebody better?
And which, you know, they don't really draft high enough to be in that spot to get one of these guys.
They had an opportunity maybe last year.
Oh, yeah. With the JSN pick, they were probably top 10-ish.
Well, I think maybe it was 2 years ago with Devin Witherspoon where they drafted.
Oh, yeah. Was that last year?
Right.
Yeah, he's the same draft class as CJ.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So it was last year's draft class. Right. Because they had two first-round picks last year because of the Russell Wilson trade.
Yeah, oh, and that's when they picked Jason. Yeah.
They technically could have taken Will Levis with the fifth overall pick.
Yeah. Because it went Young, Stroud, Anderson.
Richardson. And then Devin Witherspoon.
I think they were looking at moving up, but yeah, Texans traded into that 3 spot. Rest is history.
And oh, man, if they could have got Richardson and just let him sit behind Geno, learn.
Honestly, would help.
Would have been the worst thing in the world.
That would not be a bad situation. But anyway, yeah, that's the Thursday night football game. I understand skepticism about Geno Smith. I'm there myself. But at the same time, yeah, are you really going to do better than that? The Buffalo Bills are sniffing Devontae Adams right now. Understandable after what we saw on Sunday. Also, very strange follow-up to Josh Allen and what happened in Sunday's Texans-Bills game. For those who remember, Allen was running towards the right sideline, and I think he got hit by both Will Anderson and Azeez Al-Shaair. Maybe it was Danielle Hunter and Azeez Al-Shaair. He hit his head on the field super hard, and it was clear to anybody who saw the replay. His bell was very, very, very wrong on that play. He goes into the medical tent, and some of the people who are watching the broadcast believe that he got smelling salts. I think Emmanuel Acho said that. And he was asked about it this week, and he gave an answer that essentially implied, they told me I was fine and put me back out there.
Oh.
Not great.
Yeah, the NFL, this is always when, like, because they've kind of stopped at this point, like, the hardcore preaching of safety. Like, it's out there. Like, they highlight when there's something positive going on. They highlighted that the Guardian caps have, you know, reduced concussions in training camp
maybe
in the preseason.
Right.
At least for one season. But this is why I'll never take the NFL serious when they ever talk about safety. Because it's like, oh, they just told me I could go back in.
Yeah, this is one of those things where the training staff, of course, has a say in what happens here, and the quarterbacks, for the most part, are probably going to want to go back in. But, you know, to go back to 2 years ago, Mike McDaniels, he should have stepped in and stopped Tua from going back in, if he cares about Tua. As a human being, you would think, like, he would see that and be like, okay, I can't let this guy back in. That's the same thing about Sean McDermott here. And it obviously is a cutthroat industry where you want to have your best quarterback out there, or you could be where the Dolphins are right now with their quarterback situation. But to what you're saying, Joe, yeah, you're right. They don't care about player safety at all. And this moment's a bad one. Everyone that saw him get up and saw the look in his eyes, how would you not think that he was dazed?
The shot that they're showing on CBS, like when he was on the ground, he looked out.
Yes.
Like a boxer would. It was crazy that he came back in as fast as he did. And yes, I caught it on the CBS camera where you see a guy, they cut away from the action to show Josh Allen picking up his helmet, running back in the game. And you see someone holding out smelling salts for him to get back out there.
Well, and honestly, like, if you want to avoid the Tua thing, the smart decision is to not put Josh Allen back in.
Yeah.
Because what's caused Tua is the fact that he got a back injury, which was a concussion, and then the next week got another concussion, and then a couple weeks later got another concussion, and now this year has a fourth one in 2 years. So by lying the first week is kind of what started this domino effect for Tua. So by lying with Josh Allen and going ankle and back injury, because I've heard both, it's like you've kind of started that potential cycle.
Right.
Where it's like, hey, it's just more logical, actually, to just actually pull the player out of the game.
Yes.
Take the L.
Yes.
And, like, get him back in a week or two, and you'll be fine. Or yeah. Even the next week.
Because there's nothing to say that in that last drive where they're chucking the ball for no reason on their own goal line, like, well, if he gets knocked there, too. And now it's a really bad outcome. Now it's like a Tua-like situation. Yeah. It was super reckless what they did, and hopefully it doesn't become a Tua situation, but yeah, that's what happens when you put your guy out there like that.
Last story, Nico Collins is on the injured reserve for the Texans and missed four games. Well, Michael Pittman Jr., Colts' best wide receiver, he's expected to miss multiple weeks with a back injury. Just saying, that is going to hurt the Colts a lot more than the Texans, but it's a wide receiver, and you should be able to overcome it.
Yeah, but this week there are going to be no Richardson.
No Richardson.
No Taylor.
No Taylor.
And no Pittman. Good luck, Joe Flacco.
Whoa, you of little faith in Joe Flacco.
Yeah, he's elite, you're right.
See what he did? I mean, he has been very good.
I don't understand how he's this good.
I don't either.
I don't get it.
I don't either. Credit to him. I'm happy for him. But it is insane what he has done.
Yeah, like, I think his story is more stunning to me than the Geno Smith and Sam Darnold stuff. Because we watched, like, those guys, you can say, well, they play for the Jets, right? Like, they play for terrible organizations. We watched in front of our eyes Joe Flacco be mostly terrible in his career, have a great run, win a Super Bowl, and then be terrible again.
I don't know if he was terrible with the Ravens. But
yeah, he was.
I mean, part of it is because he played quarterback in the AFC at the same time as all the guys.
I mean, think about it. Like, they didn't want to pay him. They were not going to pay Joe Flacco.
He had one of the best playoffs we've ever seen.
Yes.
He had a couple of years where he was adequate. I know whenever he went up against the Patriots in the playoffs, he always had good games, for what it's worth.
He always balled out in big spots.
So I will not say terrible. But as you said, yeah, it once it got to a certain point, it started to fall off a cliff. But guess where else he played for? Of all those teams that you mentioned.
The Jets.
Yeah. He was on the Jets.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right. What,
he was 20, on the Jets a couple of years ago.
2021.
Yeah. Yeah.
2022, maybe.
Yeah. He definitely was in for Zach Wilson for a little bit of time.
Yeah. He was. Yeah. But even
leave
after
the Jets, you're fine.
After he signed the contract with the Ravens, like, he was not that good. Like, he got worse after that. Yeah, worse than he was before.
They drafted Lamar, like, the next year.
Mm-hmm.
No, they drafted him in 18.
Was it 18?
Yeah.
Oh, so he got the contract in what, like, 14?
2013.
Oh, okay.
Timeline's a little off.
Yeah, but he was stinking. Like, he got 2 years of, I think, the post-Super Bowl grace period of, like, hey, you know, we saw him do it before. We just need to do it again. And then there's 2 years of, like, oh, my God, this guy sucks.
Because at this point now, it's like, is he just going to be a starting quarterback next year?
I don't know. You would have, like, thought after last year.
I kind of like him as, like, coming in to save the day. If I was him, I would just wait. I just wouldn't sign a contract this offseason. And just wait until Matt Stafford or someone goes down.
I would be running to Miami if I was Joe Flacco.
Yeah, yeah. Just hold out.
Waiting for Tua to get concussed, and then I can throw the football to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle.
Just hold down to week, like, 6, 7, 8 every year. Then you get a couple teams negotiating against each other. Boom. Make some money.
That's Sean. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Colts will have Joe Flacco. No Michael Pittman. Texans are without Nico Collins, but it does seem like Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce will be back. They're 0-0. They're not 4-1. Up next, the biggest upset in recent sports history. Someone has an all-time take on why it happened. This is maybe the greatest piece of column work I've ever seen. You'll hear it next. Stay put.
You're listening to Galant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Galant and Joe George.
I saw an incredible column in Alabama's newspaper / website, alabama.com, and it has to do with Alabama's loss to Vanderbilt. The column is titled, written by Joseph Goodman of Alabama.com. Can someone please teach Kalen DeBoer how to dress? I'm going to read some of this article. College football's biggest question in the state of Alabama after the Crimson Tide's shocking loss to Vanderbilt hasn't been about the defense or if the brothers of Vandy quarterback Diego Pavia still have collegiate eligibility. No, in Alabama, we're eager to understand why football coach Kalen DeBoer dresses like he shops at Walmart.
This is what they're worried about?
This is what they're worried about.
He's wearing a t-shirt on the sideline.
What's he supposed to wear?
Put something with a collar.
What did Nick Saban wear on the sideline? A polo?
Yeah. Show some respect for the game.
Didn't Bear Bryant wear a little bit extra?
He wore a suit and a hat.
Yeah. So maybe they're looking for that. But this column continues. I can't believe this is written all-time Zach by a guy looking for ways to rag on the coach that is never going to be good enough because he's following Nick Saban. Not that there's anything wrong with Walmart. That's where I get all my undershirts and ankle socks. It's just that shouldn't the head coach of Alabama football wear something a little nicer during games than an oddly fitting untucked workout t-shirt he found on the clearance rack next to the Little Debbie's? What's up with that shot?
Untucked, too.
Made me laugh, though. this is such a funny article. I read this earlier, and it just... Why does this bother people so much? There's this TikTok that's going around right now. This girl walking through the airport, just, like, ranting and raving about men wearing, like, sweatpants to the airport. Like, who cares what people wear? Especially in a moment like this. Like, look at my coach, okay? Look at Mike Elko. Okay, he wears a long sleeve, loose fitting, you know, shirt. It doesn't matter. He wins games, most of them. Okay,
except for when he plays Notre Dame.
Well, that's my other coach. He wears polos, so I guess I get it now. You know.
This article continues. Have you seen this guy on the sidelines? First, it was hoodie, and then on Saturday, it was bargain shoppers blue light special. They say that clothes make the man, and I'm not sure that's true, but the clothes DeBoer has been wearing during games kind of reflect the style of football in Alabama recently. Sloppy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
Hey, don't lose to Vanderbilt, all right?
He looked like Cousin Eddie won tickets to the Bama game at the last minute. Pack up the RV, hun. We're going to the Music City. What do you want to wear, babe? No time. We'll stop at Walmart along the way. And then he says, at least Cousin Eddie wore a blue leisure suit to Christmas. I got to say, Joseph Goodman, new Skip Bayless.
I know. I like how this is just like a roast session.
What's next? Cut-off jeans and a Keystone light tank from 1983? This is the Deep South, not South Dakota. Damn, dog.
I mean, I'd be fine with the cut-off, you know. Little jean short, little jord action.
He's wearing jorts. That would be fun.
Like the ones you can tell that are like cut, by, like they were jeans, but you've cut them yourself.
Yeah.
To make sure that, you know, they fit to your feel.
I love this because this is so classic college football where it's something that kind of gets on your nerves, but you kind of, it doesn't matter when he coaches against Georgia and wins. My question, but then, like, the second you lose, it's like, yeah, what's with this guy?
Like, did he write it like after like week one? He's like, I'm just going to put this in the bag.
It is,
and as soon as they lose, publish.
Maybe.
It is something people noticed. Like, people noticed, like, oh, he's just wearing coaching in a t-shirt. And again, when you win, doesn't matter.
Bill Belichick.
Don't get the article written.
Belichick had a cutoff hoodie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he didn't like the NFL equipment that was being given out, so he cut off the sleeves.
And if then, I was Kalen DeBoer, I would wear a suit to the next game now.
No, you can't be shamed.
No, you can't. No, you can't bend your knee to these
like
people.
A troll back.
No,
like a full tuxedo.
No, the thing is, you won't win. You won't win against the Alabama fan base. You can't win a troll off against the Alabama fan base, because unless you're the greatest coach of all time, they will fire your ass.
Joseph Goodman's column, not done. This is the best line. Nick Saban was the Frank Sinatra of college football.
That's true.
What, he was cheating on his wife? No, that's Urban Meyer, first off. Second, okay.
Class personified.
In Nashville, Cousin Kalen, going with the Cousin Eddie still, looked like an unseasoned chicken breast stuffed inside an old shoe. Damn.
Okay, that's just mean.
This is mean.
That's just body shaming.
It's an all-time column. Shout out to Joseph Goodman.
Again, don't lose to Alabama. Or don't lose to Vanderbilt if you're Alabama.
Don't lose to Vanderbilt.
I think my favorite part here is at the end, though, when apparently he acknowledges that Nick Saban didn't dress himself.
Right.
Yeah.
That Miss Terry dressed him.
Well.
So she dressed him, and she's better at picking college football games than him.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what we've learned about Miss Terry in the last couple weeks.
Is that okay? Like, is it okay to let your significant other dress you? I wouldn't know. Sean, I don't think you've ever had a significant other dressing you.
I've taken input.
You've taken input.
Taken input.
How about you, Joe? You've been married a few years.
Not really. I mean, no.
So she doesn't.
She is not. Dressed.
She doesn't lay out a ESPN 97.5 shirt to wear every day.
Pretty obvious. My wife doesn't dress. Like, to be like, actually,
but YouTube.com/ESPN Houston.
Like, she tried. Like, she'll buy me stuff.
And on Twitch at ESPN 975.
But she's not like, wear this to work.
But when it's a situation where, you know, you are getting dressed up.
No,
where
see,
it is because,
no, see, I have nice clothes. I'm actually very, like, you tell me what you're wearing and what color.
And you'll blend.
And I'll match.
Wow.
Okay. And, like, I know.
That's pretty
like I have a
advanced.
Pretty, actually have, like, a pretty good set of dress clothes.
Okay.
That I have in my bag.
Okay.
I've seen this happen. You wore them for the Astros games.
I have, like, 4 suits. I just don't
four.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know if I have 4.
Well, see, because one time I went to Macy's and they were like 75% off.
Ah.
So I just went.
No, that's smart.
Here's my suits for the rest of my life.
And then I got a free suit for my wedding.
Kalen DeBoer should have done that.
Yeah.
It was like
this deal. What's your excuse, Coach DeBoer?
Yeah.
Just saying. Men's Warehouse used to have this deal where, like, if you got like a bunch of guys in your groomsmen party, that the groom would get a free suit at the end of it.
Nice.
Yeah, that's what I learned. So, free custom suit.
Let's go.
That's way better than losing to Vanderbilt.
Way better. I didn't lose to Vanderbilt. I lost to NIU.
0-0 all time against Vanderbilt.
Yeah, NIU was ranked for a little bit.
Yeah, not anymore.
Vanderbilt, not ranked either.
They should be. How are they not ranked?
They're actually, I mean, they're having a good year.
They lost to Georgia State, that's why.
Georgia State had a good NCAA tournament run once.
Wrong sport.
I know.
Did they? Did they? Yeah.
They did. It was a couple of years ago. And by good run, I think they won.
Like, they made the Sweet 16.
Maybe 2 games. Yeah. Probably 1. Anyway. Now you know. Galana George, he's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glass. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call in to text in. The Texans are 0-0. But what needs to improve to get some of our very, 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 very picky Texans fans who are looking at them the same way that Alabama fans look at Kalen DeBoer's T-shirts? What do they have to do? Who's got to step it up? We'll talk about it. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.